Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial
from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now, back to the courtroom.
Let Mr. Lewis try to sort out this technical issue, and we're going to continue with your testimony, and we'll come back to it as soon as we're ready. Go ahead. He can put it on that.
Okay.
He's going to need it. Okay, I apologize for that. The scene that was being filmed prior to the lunch hour that we're working up to showing, describe what this scene was supposed to be. What was your understanding of what was going to be filmed?
That Harlan Rust was going to be laying in wait in this church for the lawmen that he knew were pursuing him, and I think at this point in the story, rapidly catching up to him.
I'm sorry, with regard to firearms, what was your understanding about what, if any, firearms were going to be present and used during the filming of that scene?
What I understood was that we were going to finish the piece we started looking at, where it's the Harlan Rust's reaction to the lawmen coming in, and then we were going to film one more piece that we would refer to as an ECU, an extreme close-up, where you see Harlan Rust contemplating pulling his gun or not, kind of rubbing his hands, and then he starts to draw the firearm. My understanding is once we had that piece filmed, we were going to do what we would call a turnaround. So we'd then be filming from behind Harlan Rust, Alec Baldwin, seeing the I think it was two lawmen come into the church, and then the shootout would ensue from there.
So During the scene in the morning, was Mr. Baldwin armed with his prop gun?
Yes.
And what was your understanding about whether that was a real gun or a replica, meaning a rubber gun or plastic gun?
My understanding is Mr. Baldwin always wanted to use his, what we would refer to as his hero props. So I understood it to be a real cold gun at that point.
And when you say cold gun, explain to the jurors what you mean.
Cold gun would indicate that the armor and potentially first AD had deemed that weapon safe to be used on set. Cold referring to the fact that the trigger could be pulled and nothing would happen.
Did you know whether the gun in the morning was, whether it had dummies in it or whether it was just empty?
I don't know.
Okay. So how did... Did you see for the morning session who brought Mr. Baldwin the gun?
I did not.
And how did that morning session inside the church go? Was it relatively uneventful? How was it?
I mean, other than the previously stated kind of state of rushed chaos we were in, I would say yes, mostly uneventful.
And then when you had completed those couple of takes that we're going to show here shortly, what happened then?
I think that's when we broke for lunch for the day.
And approximately how long was your lunch?
I think we were doing half-hour lunches. Maybe they might have been a little longer because where lunch was a little bit of a van ride from where we were filming.
And when you say a little bit of a van ride, how far away was, how was that set up?
I think that, the production clock for us works on 6/10 of an hour. So it may have been 6 minutes away. So if it was a half hour lunch, it may have ended up being approximately 42 minutes, for that travel both ways, to and from catering.
And is the food just provided for you all right there on set?
There's a caterer and a catering tent, yeah, if not on set, on the facility where we were filming, yes.
So approximately what time, if you know, would you have completed lunch and come back into the church to continue filming?
Again, I think we started between 6 or 7, so lunch would have been called at 12 or 1 and 42 minutes after that. So for argument's sake, 2 o'clock-ish.
Okay. And what was your understanding of anything that was going to take place immediately after lunch and perhaps before filming? Can you explain to the jurors?
I believe the decision was made. So we were... for parts of that scene, we were using a Steadicam, which is a camera apparatus affixed to the camera operator. And I don't think they were getting quite what they wanted as far as how the photography was portraying the story. So I brought the dolly in so we could mount the camera on the dolly and give them a more stable platform.
Technical difficulties abound. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Please continue, sir.
I think that was it for the...
Okay. So, while these gentlemen were speaking to me, did you explain that this was going to be a blocking?
I did not.
Let's go there. Explain what the blocking is.
So the decision was made to go from Steadicam to the dolly. So once we It takes a moment to convert that camera over from one use to another. So I'm getting the dolly close to the pew where Mr. Baldwin, Harlan Rust, would be sitting, and working with the camera operator, Reed. Helena had kind of mentioned where she wanted us, but I believe her and her gaffer were starting to prepare for the turnaround of when the lawmen came into the church. So we were just trying to find, blocking the shot, we would call it, trying to find the shot that best told the story in that moment that the director wanted to tell, which was to be, my understanding was to be an extreme close-up of Alec pulling the, starting to draw his weapon. And then from what I know in the edit, his cut would have been, you see, you as the audience, see that weapon start to leave his holster. And then we were going to then put the camera behind him to see the lawmen enter the church. And that's when this shootout would have begun in the church.
So were cameras rolling?
No, we were still blocking the shot.
And were you present in the church when Ms. Gutierrez brought the firearm into the church?
Yes.
And tell the jury what you saw and or heard.
I never saw the interaction between Hannah and Dave in the church, but I could hear Hannah telling Dave that the firearm had been checked before lunch and had been locked up during lunch. And then Dave called out cold gun or cold weapon. I heard the word cold, and that's when I went back to focusing on my task at hand, helping Reed and Helena find that insert shot.
On the server. I'm still trying to iron out this issue. Thank you, Mr. Adiego.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you recall who said cold gun? Did you describe that?
I did. I heard Dave Hall's call. I don't recall if it was cold gun or cold weapon, but I heard the word cold, which typically for me is what I need to hear.
And cold gun means it's not going to go bang.
Correct.
Okay. With regard to Ms. Gutierrez's statement that you overheard about her not having checked the gun since lunch, did that cause you any concern?
It did.
Why?
Just accustomed to armors checking those guns again on a regular basis, and we had a break. And typically, that any firearm that's brought on set is checked, even if it had been checked previously.
Do you know how the gun got from Ms. Gutierrez to Mr. Baldwin?
I do not.
So after you heard Ms. Gutierrez's voice and you heard Mr. Hall's call out cold gun, where was the gun the next time you saw it?
In Mr. Baldwin's holster on his left side.
Did you see Ms. Gutierrez in the church?
I don't recall seeing her in the church after lunch, no.
So, go ahead and walk us through. Mr. Baldwin now has the gun. Where is he sitting? What is he doing? Take us through this.
Mr. Baldwin seated in a church pew, and Reed and I are trying to find an angle, looking kind of over his right elbow or right bicep to see his hands and his lap transition from his lap to that firearm that's kind of hidden in a holster under the coat that he's wearing. So
if you can stand up, if you don't mind, and demonstrate what you believed Mr. Baldwin was supposed to do for the blocking.
My understanding was it was just to reveal that part of, you know, the part of the gun that holds the bullets coming out of the holster, and then that portion of the, you know, that piece of photography was finished. Once we saw that gun coming out of the holster, it would again give the audience the idea in that story that that Harlan Rust is about to defend himself or try to shoot the lawmen before they shoot him as they enter the church.
How close were the cameras to Mr. Baldwin?
The only camera we had in the church was... I think at that point I was had the lens within a foot of Mr. Baldwin.
And do you recall where Ms. Hutchins was?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Would you explain?
So directly, if I'm sitting in the pew as Harlan Rust, Helena Hutchins was essentially directly in front of Rust, having a conversation with her gaffer. So there was maybe a couple of feet of air in between Mr. Baldwin and the pew that Helena and Serge were standing behind, directly in front of Mr. Baldwin.
And let me stop you. What's a gaffer? We don't know these terms.
My apologies. Gaffer is the head of the lighting department. So he was discussing with the director of photography. My understanding, of course, is they were discussing what we were going to do when we turned around to see the lawmen, because we were already lit for the direction that we were filming.
Do you remember the gaffer's name?
Serge is his first name, I believe his last name, and I don't want to slaughter it, but I think it was Svetne,
okay.
I believe is his last name.
Could you understand the conversation between Ms. Hutchins and Mr. Svetnoy? That's my best try.
So often... none of us could understand because they often conversed in either Russian or Ukrainian, as they were both born and raised in that part of the world. So,
do you know where Mr. Souza was at this point in time?
Mr. Souza was shoulder to shoulder, just to my right. He was looking at my my dolly monitor so he could see what the camera was seeing.
So, why would the director be in the room looking at your monitor? Well, let me ask it this way. Would the director normally be looking at that vantage point from Video Village?
Depends on the director and the situation. Sometimes they'll work with us more closely where they will be shoulder to shoulder, and we'll look at my monitor. We were still waiting for the new camera assistants to finish converting from Steadicam to what we'd call studio mode. So I don't believe the camera actually had a monitor. And potentially that's why he was looking over my shoulder instead of a bit removed in the Video Village.
Okay, we're going to pause for a moment. Mm-hmm. We think we're going to be able to watch these videos, and that's going to give everybody a much better idea of what was going on in there. Hope springs eternal. Okay, so we've we've already gone through the slate and et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to go ahead and play the video. This video will be marked as State's Exhibit 112. What's that noise we hear, that ch-ch-ch-ch?
I'm not actually sure. I was trying to figure that out myself.
Okay. Alan Russ? Did you get up nice and slow? I'll see what weapons you might have. End of iteration.
Who is the person speaking? Whose voice are we hearing?
It sounds like Jensen Ackles.
And is he an actor?
He is an actor in Rust playing one of the lawmen, is my recollection.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Stand up slowly and toss in guns.
Okay, we're going to do it again. And set and action.
On the Rust. Did you get up nice and slow? Toss any weapons you might have. There ain't no iteration of you walking out of this church less than you stand up slowly and toss them guns.
Okay, and set. Okay, so
there's an answer to your question. That's the answer to your question earlier, that sound.
Why don't you explain to us what we're seeing?
So what you just saw for a brief moment was one of the effects department people coming in to spray at what we'd call atmosphere. So dust or whatever there, I don't know what's in their spray can, but that is what that sound was. And that's what they were doing, was adding atmosphere that makes it look a little foggy. And if hard light comes through those windows, you would kind of see those lights, the rays of light in that fog.
And I just backed this video up to 1 minute, 6 seconds, so that I can ask you, the position that Mr. Baldwin is sitting in this video, is that the same or similar position that he was in the blocking scene after lunch?
Yes, similar.
Okay.
Is there any way you can come up and see me open my eyes, or they don't want? I mean, like, let's say I'm down here like this, yeah. And when he says Harlan Russ, I'm gonna go, boop.
Okay.
And you gotta come down here for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see if we can do that. Ready? Here we go.
You want
on another take? Here we go. Ready?
All right, another take. Where are we? And set. Ready? And action.
Harlan Russ, if you get up nice and slow, toss any guns you have. There ain't no iteration of you walking out of this church lesson, you stand up slowly and toss some weapons. Russ.
All right, let's flip the sensor.
Can we try this?
So let me ask you, just so that we get an idea, where we see Mr. Baldwin sitting in the church pew, where is the door to the church?
Behind the camera.
From Mr. Baldwin's perspective, is it in front of him?
In front of Mr. Baldwin, yes.
And where is Mr. Ackles, the gentleman who is speaking in the scene?
It sounds as though he's just to the left of the camera.
So where would that be in relation to the door?
Jensen would be in between Mr. Baldwin and the door.
Okay, and if you can estimate how many feet, how big is this room, and how many feet are there from where Mr. Baldwin is sitting to the door?
In that instance, because we had moved the pews around a little, so in that instance, Mr. Baldwin's less than 20 feet from the door would be my guesstimation.
Okay. And who's this gentleman here that we can see in the video?
That is Dave Halls.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and finish it just for completeness, and then we'll move on to our next one.
Have your turn.
All right. I am now going to play what will be marked as State's Exhibit 112A. I would ask the court to go ahead and admit 112A and give permission to publish.
No objection, Your Honor.
All right, 112A is admitted. You may publish.
Again, ready?
Little two white. And set, ready, and action.
Harlan Russ. Did you get up nice and slow? Toss any weapons you have.
One more. You good? Ready?
Slow tossing weapons you have.
Well, how close can I get right there?
Joe, the only way to give you that line till he lands,
okay.
Till camera lands.
Yeah.
Yep.
Seven this one.
Yeah.
Draw your gun and look up and point your gun. Okay.
Okay. Which way? Camera right or left?
It's this side of camera for now.
So camera left for now.
I'll stand right here for you.
So whip it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me get this all greased and ready.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Okay, ready? Ready.
And set. Ready, and action.
Harlan Russ.
Do one more just like that. You got one more?
Yeah. Ready, 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 ready.
Set, ready, and action.
Harlan Russ.
Nice.
Okay. So the... The blocking, you can take these, thank you, Shad. The blocking that you were describing, as a person who was working in the room, were you expecting Mr. Baldwin to pull the gun all the way out? Like what we just saw in those clips?
In the blocking of the ECU,
what's the ECU?
Extreme close-up.
Okay.
I was not.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
My understanding was it was just to kind of reveal that weapon coming out of the holster to the camera.
So I think that we may have ended your description of what was going on in the after-lunch session where Mr. Souza was standing. And were there other people in the church also?
Yes.
Do you know approximately how many people were in there?
Myself, Reed, the camera operator, Zach, the boom guy, was...
When you say the boom guy, what is a boom?
Sorry, guys. The person holding the sound boom, so recording sound for the sound mixer, was in the church. Joel was shoulder to shoulder, like I had described, looking at my monitor. I believe Mamie Mitchell was to his right. Wardrobe, a woman named Doran, was in there, I think, looking over Mimi's shoulder at the monitor. Helena, Serge, my direct boss, Reese Price, who's the key grip, he's the head of the grip department, had just come in to work with Helena and Serge. Dave Halls. And maybe one of the effects guys, I recall, was kind of in and out, keeping an eye on things, because they had pre-rigged some of their effects stuff in the ceiling, again, in preparation for the big turnaround that we were about to do.
Okay.
So I didn't give you a number, but I think that works out to 12-ish.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So... Keep walking us through it. What happens next?
So I guess Reed and I are trying to find the camera angle that Joel, the director, is happy with, that he feels will tell that piece of the story. I think, like I said earlier, I believe Helena and Serge were discussing how to change the lighting for the turnaround. Reese, my boss, Reese Price, was in there. I think he had just brought in a bounce card, maybe for that insert, maybe for the next shot.
We don't know what a bounce card is.
A lighting apparatus. So he was going to use some of the light coming through one of the windows and potentially reflect that back towards Mr. Baldwin to help illuminate him. I think Joel and Joel, the director, and Alec had some brief conversation back and forth about what the goal was for that shot, and I think Alec had drawn it once to kind of audition what he thought his action should be for Joel, and then he drew it again, and it went off. And, instantly, a firearm went off in a small wooden church. So the concussion, ears ringing, that moment of panic in everybody. I think the first person I made eye contact with was Helena, who was clearly injured by whatever that gunshot was, that noise we had just heard. And in fact, she was starting to go flush, and I think holding her right side. And then I think that Joel let out some sort of scream or made some noise that, to indicate he was also injured. And I think I just my attention went to Joel because he was the closest to me. I think Reed, I recall Reed and Serge moving Pew out of the way to help Helena get to to lay Helena down and start tending to her, figure out what her injuries were, or injury. And I started attending to Joel. I think I yelled out that if you can't help us, get the fuck out of here. And someone called 911, and I do recall Mimi's voice in the distance talking to 911 and telling where we're at, and I tried to calm Joel down. We had a good rapport, so I just tried to calm him down and let him know that we were going to get through it because I didn't know what else to do in that moment. And then soon after, the medic and the best boy, Electric, came into the church.
And I'm going to stop you real quick. Mm-hmm. The medic, do you recall her name?
Her first name was Cher. I don't recall her last name.
Okay, and who was the other person you said best boy?
The best boy Electric, Matt Hemmer, I believe was his last name. He was Serge's second in command, is what a best boy is. So the gaffer and the key grip each have a best boy, and then the rest of their department. My understanding was Matt had some combat medical training. So he came in to assist the medic, Cher. And I think
when right after the gun went off, do you recall seeing Ms. Gutierrez in the church?
I do not.
And did Mr. Baldwin stay in the church?
He sat down in that same pew, I think, in that moment when I yelled out that if you can't help us, you need to, you know, get out of here. I think he sat down, and then at some point, I know I looked over and he was gone. So.
Okay. And in terms of your attention to Mr. Souza, what were you doing to him? Were you touching his body? What were you doing?
I was. So Joel was wearing kind of a thick hoodie, and I believe he had a t-shirt or a couple shirts on underneath, so it was start to figure out where Joel had been injured. He was certainly at that point writhing in pain and concerned for himself, asking me how Helena was, and I think coming to the realization that he had been shot. So I was trying to find where he was wounded. So started pulling back his hoodie to reveal what appeared to be a circular wound in his right shoulder. And at that point, I think the Cher and Matt came in. They had gloved hands, I didn't, so I had some of his blood on my hands, and I think I helped them roll Joel over. One of them had trauma shears to cut his shirt off, and then I helped roll him over, and I was in a position to see that what appeared to be a bullet just under the skin, basically where his right shoulder blade was, and he was in a great deal of pain. And I think that Cher gave me some gauze to just put some pressure on the wound while they attended to Helena's injuries, which I gathered at that time were certainly much more severe because of her proximity to the firearm.
And could you hear Ms. Hutchins? I know you indicated that Mr. Souza was kind of yelling out in pain. Did you hear anything from Ms. Hutchins?
If I did, it was just, you know, the groaning and discomfort from being shot by a firearm. I don't remember anything verbal from Helena.
Okay. And at some point, did paramedics arrive?
Yes.
And if you know, at some point was Ms. Hutchins taken for medical care offset?
Yeah, thank you, sir. I stayed with Joel until they carried him out, and what I observed was they were trying to stabilize her. I heard them call for a life flight, so they were trying to stabilize her to get her in a helicopter and get her to whatever ER they felt was appropriate.
And at some point in time, were you notified that Ms. Hutchins had passed?
Yes.
Mr. Adiego, when you heard the gunshot and you saw these people fall, did it occur to you in that moment that it was a live round, that there was a real bullet in that gun?
Maybe not in that moment. I think it became clear when, like I mentioned, I helped roll Joel over to see what very much looked like a large caliber bullet just being barely held in by his skin.
Okay. And is this the first time in your life that you've ever seen a bullet?
No.
Okay. So you knew a bullet when you saw one?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever see Ms. Gutierrez after the gunshot went off?
Not until today.
Okay. And I want to back up. The people who, the camera crew that walked off that morning, did you know those people?
As well as you can know anyone in 2 weeks, sure.
Based on your time on set and everything that you knew about what was going on that movie set, do you have any reason to believe that any of those people planted live ammunition on set?
Judge, I'm going to object to speculation, lack of foundation, and whether he knows any of that.
Well, I think he can answer the question whether he has any reason to believe that they did or not.
Counsel approach.
More Raw Courtroom audio from the Rust Alex Baldwin movie shooting trial is on the way.
Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment.
From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money. Inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.